girl rapper name, and it's Maharaj is going to really prepare us for this very special day. Shall we start or shall we wait a little longer? I think we should just start because he has a lot to share with us today. Hare Maharaj, are you there?
The effect of the waxing rays of the benediction moon might make things a little spontaneous for the next week and a half. The approach to Sri Gaur Purnim offers a precious time to contemplate. Why did Lord Chaitanya come? What treasure did he come to bestow? And how can we understand in a manner that above and beyond hearing his message, we will receive his gift as well? Om Agnatanamandasya Ganatana Shalakaya Chakshana. The speciality of Lord Chaitanya's gift, Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana, is revealed in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I'm sorry I can't give you the reference. But it's at the time when all the Bengali devotees are arriving in Jagannath Puri for Rath Yatra. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya goes with King Prataparudra up onto the roof of the palace. And then they're watching Surup Damodar and Govinda garland the arriving Bengalis, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is explaining who is who to King Prataparudra, who is very impressed by the effulgence and the demeanor of these associates of the Lord from Bengal. But what I would like to focus on is what King Prataparudra explained as the Bengalis are approaching Jagannath Puri and he's watching from the rooftop. King Prataparudra, and bear in mind, he's been hearing kirtan for yugas because his Leela with Lord Jagannath going back to Satya Yuga when the Lord was in the form of Nilamadava. He's been hearing kirtan forever. And yet the king exclaims in astonishment that I'm amazed to see these devotees whose effulgence is like the brilliance of millions of suns. But here's the real essence. King Prataparudra said, never before have I heard the holy names of the Lord sung so melodiously, nor have I seen devotees exhibit such manifestations of ecstatic love while dancing in Sankirtan. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied to him that this sweet transcendental sound is a special creation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as, and here's the key word, Prem Sankirtan. The Lord has descended in this age of Kali to preach the Yuga Dharma, which is an understatement, which is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And anyone who does not worship Mahaprabhu by this Sankirtan Yajna must be considered a victim of Kali Yuga. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya backed up his statement from Shastra, So what is this Prem Sankirtan that's so unique amongst all forms and cultures of Nam Sankirtan? Before we make that comparison, we may overlap a little with previous discussions about the parallel dynamic in relation to a topic very current these days, which is how our only approach to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna is through Gaur Nithai, and how the process of developing Raganuga Bhakti is contained in seed form, which gradually develops, fructifies within our Vaidhi Bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada has stated in so many times and places that this movement follows a combination of Pancharatna Kaviti from the Narada Pancharatna and Bhagavad Viti, the way of the Srimad Bhagavatam, meaning the nine processes of devotional service listed by Prahlad Maharaj. These two, the Vaidhi Bhakti and the Raganuga, go hand in hand. Each helps the others. Each governs the other. And like parallel tracks on a railroad, they always go side by side. So Pancharatika Viti governs the temple worship, the archana, establishing the regulative principles in the worship of Lakshmi Narayan and or Gaur Nithai. Whereas Bhagavad Viti guides the worship of Radhan Krishna through the process of Sankirtan, hearing and chanting and consequent preaching, all culminating in Atmanivedanam, surrender of the heart, which is Antardvip, the heart of the lotus of Navadvip Dham, where the center point is Jagannath Mishra's house, where Lord Gauranga appears in 8 days. Another very vivid, or actually the most vivid as far as I know, comparison between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga is during Chaturmasya on Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour, where he spent Chaturmasya in Rangakshetra in a family of Tirumalabhata, whose brother was Prabodhananda Saraswati, and his son was at the time Gopal, a child later to be glorified as Gopal Bhatta Goswami. When Prabodhananda Saraswati and Gopal Bhatta Goswami later moved to Kamyavan in Vrindavan. So during Lord Chaitanya's time with the family, they all developed deep attachment to him, and their hearts were changed from their exquisite devotion to the worship of Lakshmi Narayan. Their affection during that time, Chaturmasya, transformed, their devotion transformed into love for Sri Sri Radha and Govinda. So Prabodhananda Saraswati at that time was the Tridandas Sannyasi and an acharya in the Rabhanuja Sampradaya. And he wrote many books later in his time in Kamyavan, which are especially loved by Rasik devotees. And Srila Prabhupada appreciated his sutras, which crystallize vast and deep truths into simple, eloquent, poetic format. And in great ecstasy, he compiled there in Vrindavan Sri Chaitanya Chandramita, the very first verse, which is so illuminating in terms of the exceptional gift Lord Gauranga bestowed upon this world in comparison to that given by Krishna, the Avatari, or any of the avatars. Prabhupada Saraswati opens his famous Chaitanya Charitamrita with the verse, "Let us glorify the boundlessly merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Prince of Braja." And then really pay attention to this next sentence. Really summarizes the essence of Lord Chaitanya's gift. To taste the intoxicating sweet waves of the nectar of transcendental love for Krishna, as well as to give that nectar to others, he has now appeared in Navadvip as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then in the following verses, he continues to compare the gift of Lord Chaitanya as compared to Krishna or any avatar, which also compares the process, once again, of Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga. Not attainable, Prabodhananda Saraswati sings, not attainable by the faithful performance of pious deeds, not understood by those engaged in austerity, meditation, and yoga, not guessed by those absorbed in detachment, renunciation, philosophical speculation, recitation of prayers. And really pay attention to this line. Not understood or known even to many of the devotees of Golok who are full of love for Lord Govinda. And here's the exceptional gift. The secret of pure devotional service. Now, this is above and beyond that known by so many of Lord Govinda's personal servitors in Golok. But now, the secret of pure devotional service has been revealed to anyone who takes shelter of the holy name during Lord Gauranga's pastimes, which continue even today. Let me glorify that Lord Gauranga. And then as his work progresses, he keeps elaborating the same principle. The splendid path of pure devotional service, which bewildered the great sages in the past, which material intelligence has no power to enter, which Shukadev Goswami was not able to understand, and even merciful Lord Krishna never revealed even to his closest friend. Such is the place where the dear devotees of Lord Gauranga happily enjoy pastimes. And then continuing further in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and pay attention to what he's saying here. This is not merely some eloquent poetic theology. This is that exceptional, unique gift of Lord Gauranga referred to by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in his talks with King Prataparudra. Let renunciation be multiplied millions of times. Let millions of virtues, beginning with peacefulness, sense control, tolerance, and friendliness, be multiplied millions of times. Let there be millions of meditations on the words Tattvamasi. Let there be devotion to Lord Vishnu multiplied millions of times. All of this taken together does not equal even a millionth part of the multitude of perfect transcendental qualities possessed by the great souls who find transcendental bliss in the splendor of the toenails of the dear devotees of Sriman Chaitanya Chandra. Now, that could sound like some exaggeration, But there is no such thing in the unlimited, ever-expanding glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So hearing Gaura Tattva naturally leads us to ponder, why did Krishna assume the mood and consequent luster of Srimati Radharani? He did so to fulfill his internal desire, which was the essence of his reason for coming to this world, grounded in his own divinity, quoted by Kaviraj Goswami. He's not quoting Krishna's words, he's quoting Krishna's thoughts. To understand the glories of Srimati Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in himself which she alone can fully cherish through her love, and the sublime happiness Krishna feels when he tastes the sweetness of her love. The Lord appeared from the womb of Sachi like the moon rising from the ocean. And from that internal desire of the Lord, that's why we say it's grounded in his divinity, it has nothing to do directly with this world, whether in cause or effect. It is from his internal desire that his external desire was fulfilled automatically as a consequence, and that is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, to propagate Raganuga Bhakti in the four mellows of Braj, which are not found in the material world, even in Vaikuntha, Mathura, or Dwarka. Why? Because the four mellows of Braj are unique. They're not found in Dwarka because Braj Ras is intimate. It's confidential. Lord Nityananda explained very systematically to Jiva Goswami that there's only two rasas in which we can worship Lord Gauranga, and that applies as well to the worship of Lakshmi Narayan, and it applies for the whole principle, the whole dynamic of Vaidhi Bhakti. There are only two rasas. Shantaras, which the devotees don't even really accept as being anything, because the bliss of liberation is not positive, it's just a negative sensation upon the cessation of miseries. So that's not really, and there's no service involved, it's a passive adoration, which will, in the case of Lord Gauranga's grace, take active form in Dasya Ras. So really, if you exclude Shantaras, which Vaishnavas oftentimes do, there's really only one mellow of worship for Lord Gauranga or Krishna, and that is Dasya. Servant-master relationship. Why? Because the next rasa, Sakya, friendship, it means and it necessitates equality. Because in what to speak of Vatsalya, where the devotee is in a superior role to the Lord, or Madhurya, where the devotee controls and conquers the Lord by their love. And this is possible only because Krishna desires it. Nobody can become equal with Krishna, which is what Sakiras means. But to speak of superior, which is what Vatsalya, Madhurya mean, nobody can rise to such a role And Krishna wants that kind of relationship with his parts and parcels. He then delegates to Yogamaya, who is Purnamasi with assistance from Vrindadevi and Braj, the directors of the Leela. Krishna delegates to them to create the spell of spiritual illusion with sentiments that his devotee is his equal, that Krishna is in a subordinate role to his parents, a puppet in the hands of his lovers. So what do devotees do in Sakyaras above and beyond that of Dasya? Because his friendship, they play and they wrestle in a playful mode. And in the wrestling, sometimes Krishna wins, sometimes he loses. And Krishna likes to brag. He likes to brag about how he beat Sri Dama in a wrestling match. And when Srimati Radharani heard that, she said, well, that's not the way he tells it, because she's his brother, Sri Dama. That's not the way he tells it. And then Sri Dama tells Krishna that, you know, don't brag before me, because my little sister told me that she beat you in a wrestling match. And Krishna can't even defend himself to such accusations. Anyway, Sakyaras means friendship. And when Krishna refuses to accept that his devotee was the victor in the wrestling match, then the devotee forcibly, because the rules of the game is the victor rides the loser like a horse on his shoulders, running around the forest of Braja to the great delight of all. So when Krishna refuses to accept that he lost, the devotee, like Sri Dama, forcibly climbs on his shoulders and rides him like a horse. Now, what kind of devotee would demand Krishna to surrender to the rules of a friendly game? What superior agency forces Krishna into surrender? That superior agency is his servant infused with bhakti, which is the empowered portion of the love of Srimati Radharani, manifest through various degrees in the hearts of different devotees. But the only one who can attain that illusion of equality with Krishna, and of course the sahajas have that, but that's a mundane illusion. The spiritual illusion is granted to the one who Krishna chooses according to his own sweet will and pleasure, with whom he wants to enjoy ras and please his devotee. Now we're talking about Sakyaras here, which is non-existent in Dwarka. Well, you can say, well, Krishna has his parents and queens, yes, but that's not real Vatsalya or Madhurya. It's Dasya with the mood of a parent or a queen. Sakyaras is a sentiment unique to Braj Bhakti. And yet it's accessible anywhere as Lord Chaitanya's gift. So if no one can attain to Sakyabhav but by the Lord's creating the illusion that he descends to a level of equality, what does it speak of Vatsalya and Madhurya? So under so what to speak of serving as a parent or consort in an intimate role? This concept, this mood, this sentiment does not exist in Dwarka, Mathura, anywhere in Vaikuntha, what to speak of material creation? How can anyone become equal to Krishna other than the mundane illusion of Sahajas or Mayavadis? There is another kind of illusion, spiritual, which is called Yogamaya, in which Krishna descends to the level of a friend to his devotee, or the son of Nanda, or the lover of Radha, which is his superior position. Anyway, Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. He appears once in a day of Brahma, which is always followed by Lord Chaitanya in the following Kali Yuga, which happens only once in a day of Brahma, which means the other 999 out of 1,000 Chaturyugas, or for us, Kali Yugas, for the previous 999 out of 1,000 and the following 999, which covers a period of 8.64 billion years times two, every yuga is either, well, every yuga is an avatar, or doesn't even have to be an avatar. It can be a specifically empowered, favored expansion of the Lord. Only once in a day of Brahma does he reveal his Brajlila. After which, and this is where Chaitanya Charitamrita is so phenomenal, because in Bhagavad Gita we have the words of the Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we have descriptions of the Lord's 24-hour day lila. But only in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita do we have the innermost heartfelt thoughts and feelings of the Lord. So after his Brajlila was completed and became unmanifest, this is 5,000 years ago when the avatari Sri Krishna, not the Yuga avatar who comes in every Dwapara Yuga, the avatari, who just happens to coincide his appearance with that of what would be the Yuga avatar. So he reveals his lila, his Braj lila, and then disappears and reflects about where it would all be going. What would be the consequence of his Braj lila, which is hearing Braj lila, the world would understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship him in awe and veneration. This is a natural human instinct to worship the creator, maintainer, destroyer, and controller of creation. It's a natural human instinct. So he was thinking that people will naturally worship me, Krishna, in awe and veneration. And this was disturbing to Krishna. As Kaviraj Goswami continues to analyze his thoughts, because reverential worship cripples, it weakens devotion. It distances the love. And then Krishna was reflecting, when my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that sentiment steals my mind away from the reverential hymns of the devotees. Or when my beloved friend climbs on my shoulders and challenges me, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. The sweetness of these words and sentiments steals away Krishna's mind. But those sentiments are crippled and distanced by reverential worship. Or you can think of it as Vaikuntha, like by being the court of the kingdom of God. And it is the prerogative of God and the highest aspiration of any normal citizen to become accepted as a minister in the king's court. That's Dasiras, and that's as far as it goes in Vaikuntha, Mathura, or Dwarka. And yet in Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear that the Lord also has his intimate country retreat for his inner family circle. And that's Braj. Dwarka is the kingdom of God and his faithful servants. Now, under normal circumstances, the highest aspiration of any subject of a king would be appointed to the role of the king's court, which is Vaikuntha, Mathura, or Dwarka. No ordinary person would ever cherish hopes of being adopted into the inner family circle of Krishna in Vrindavan. And yet that is the goal and aspiration and destination of the Gaura Bhaktas. So Krishna was concerned. Hearing of my Braj Leela, the world will naturally worship me in veneration. That makes their love feeble, weak, distance. Just like Advaitacharya, when he was a child, he would play with the prince. And the prince had a friendly relationship with Advaitacharya. But every now and then he would see Advaitacharya in his divine mood, and the prince would faint, realizing that his friend was a god. So reverence causes distance and love. And we see that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that even if a devotee ascends to Dwarka, from there he has no access to Braja, as was the experience of Gopa Kumar, who was frustrated, he was disappointed, he felt some emptiness even in Dwarka, where Krishna and his queens accepted him as with the affection of a son. And Narada Muni asked him, why do you feel so empty? And he said that because I yearn for that coward boy playing his flute and dancing through the forest with a peacock feather in the flowers which form the crown on his head. I yearn for the intimate relation with that Lord. So Narada Muni told him, well, then you have to go back to earth and call upon Krishna in kirtan with all of your heart, which means sankirtan, by which your desires will be fulfilled in attaining to Vrindavan. So Krishna offers this opportunity only once in a day of Brahma, continuing to consider the words of Kaviraj Goswami, articulating the moods of Krishna. I shall personally inaugurate, and here we go back to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's explanation of the nature, or his answer to King Pratibhruta's question, what kind of kirtan is this? That was what Krishna was reflecting beforehand. I shall personally inaugurate an exceptional Yuga Dharma, which will induce the world, the whole world, to dance in the ecstasy of the four mellows of Vrindavan. I will accept the role of a devotee and teach by practice devotional service. And herein lies the secret of Gaura Leela. If we worship Lord Chaitanya as the Yuga avatar, for which the process is Vaidhi Bhakti, that will lead us to Vaikuntha, from where there is no access to Braja, except by coming back to earth again. And yet when the Yuga avatar's Leela coincides with the avatari, who comes for internal purposes of his own, then the Yuga Dharma adjusts. And when the Lord combines with Radha, and we worship Lord Gauranga as Lord, for which our destination will surely be Vaikuntha at the perfection of our Vaidhi, we are simultaneously following the process of Raganuga, which means following those who have rag, that who have love, the premi bhaktis. While we worship Mahaprabhu as the Lord of Vaikuntha or the Yuga Avatar, or in this special Kali Yuga, the Avatari, unique in his combination with Radha, thereby in that Lord Gauranga, our worship of him as Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti is simultaneously Raganuga, or it has the essence of Raganuga within the bhakti. Because in worship of Lord Gauranga, we're not only worshiping Krishna, we are following in the footsteps of the Supreme Ragatmaka, whom all the Brijabasis are pursuing her lotus footprints. Srila Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion, the only access to Braja is following in the footsteps of a Brijabasi. And you don't need to know who that eternally liberated soul is, whose heart, center, desire resonates with your own, because they're all following the lotus footprints of Srimati Radharani. So worshiping Lord Gauranga as Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti takes us to Vaikuntha. Lord Gauranga's gift is so unique that within the Vaidhi is Raganuga, because Lord Gauranga is also Radha. And in worshiping Lord Gauranga, we are following her lotus footsteps, which lead to Goloka Vrindavan. And when the seed of Raganuga within the heart of Vaidhi matures, Mahaprabhu reveals his alternate identity as Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and the golden luster of Srimati Radharani's cherished feet illumines the heart with Braja Prema, as the ocean of Braj Bhakti floods the heart with spontaneous, intimate love for Krishna. So just to reflect, because this point is so important that it so much simplifies and perfects our practice. Golokera prema dan harinam sankirtan sings Narottam Das Thakur. The love of Vrindavan is contained in the holy name. How can that be? We cannot attain Vaikuntha by any other means than Vaidhi Bhakti. And Goloka Vrindavan is beyond Vaikuntha. By what process can we attain that ultimate destination? The same process by which the Brijabasis worship Krishna. Prem Sankirtan, the most confidential hymn of the spiritual world, the Hare Krishna mantra, the sound form of Radha and Krishna dancing in Rasalila. So now the Bengalis have arrived in Jagannath Puri, and they see Lord Jagannath go to Gundicha, which is Vrindavan. And Lakshmi is not too happy about him going. So there's another festival. When and Kashi Mishra invited Swarup Damodar to come with Swarup Damodar to watch the festival, which is a drama. Lakshmi Devi comes riding out of the temple, Jagannath's temple, because Jagannath's now at Gundicha, which is Vrindavan. So Lakshmi comes out riding on a chariot, clearly in an angry mood. And she dispatched her servants to arrest the servants of Jagannath, bring them before her. They throw Jagannath's servants down at the feet of Lakshmi Devi. They make them the butt of loose jokes and humbling behavior. And Lakshmi and her servants chastise the servants of Jagannath for taking him away, because he promised Lakshmi he'd come back the next day. 2 days later, she's getting angry. By this day, she comes storming out of the temple. Her servants beat Jagannath's chariot with their sticks. And they don't release the incarcerated servants of Jagannath until they promise her that Jagannath will be back with her the very next day, which is the same thing that he promised. So, while they're watching this festival, and Lord Chaitanya and Swarup Damodar have to hide their faces behind their hands because they can't help but smile amidst this intense drama. And then Srivas Thakur, who is Narada Muni, and at this point becomes Narada Muni, and speaks like Narada Muni, speaking on behalf of the maidservants of Lakshmi. He promised me back the next day. How could he leave Lakshmi? And then Mahaprabhu tells him, my dear Srivas, your mood and nature is now exactly like that of Narada Muni. And it appears that this is because of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulence having a direct influence upon you. But Swarup Damodar, he's different. He's a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He doesn't even know what opulence is. Because remember, the challenge of Lakshmi's servants echoed in the words of Srivas Thakur when he's in the mood of Narada Muni is, how can your master, who is supposed to be so expert at everything, give up the inconceivable opulence of Vaikuntha, and in preference for a few leaves, twigs, peacock feathers, and gunja berries, go to Vrindavan just to see the flower garden of Srimati Radharani? Your gopis are engaged only in milking cows and churning butter, but my goddess of fortune sits on a throne made of jewels and gems. How could your Jagannath leave her to go to Vrindavan? And then Swarup Damodar replied, my dear Srivas, please hear me with attention. For you have forgotten, and more so failed to understand, the transcendental, supreme, inconceivable opulence of Vrindavan, which is a natural opulence, like an ocean, which makes the opulence of Vaikuntha and Dwarka, by comparison, to be less than a drop in that vast ocean of the natural opulence of Braja. Sri Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete in all opulences, but his complete opulence is manifest only in Vrindavan Dham. And the nature of that opulence can be summarized in being Chintamani, transcendental touchstone, covering the entire surface and all the dust and all the dust that ends up in the kunds. It's all Chintamani. Vrindavan is a natural forest of kalpa vrikshas. And the inhabitants have nothing, no desire for anything more than their fruit and flowers. Vrindavan, their unlimited kamadenas, so fulfill all desires also, just like the kalpa vrikshas. And the residents are doubly satisfied by the fruits from the kalpa vrikshas and the milk from the kamadenas. In Vrindavan, all speech is music, all motion resembles dance, the water is nectar, and the Brahma Jyoti is perceived there in his personal form. And the gopis of Braja are super goddesses of fortune, surpassing Lakshmi, who resides in Vaikuntha. And in Vrindavan, Krishna eternally resides along with his dear companion, the flute. And at this point, Srivas Thakur is so conquered by Sarup Damodar's eloquent glorification of the opulence of Vrindavan, Srivas Thakur begins dancing in ecstasy and making all kind of funny sounds, which inspired Mahaprabhu to dance with Sarup Damodar, absorbed together in singing the glories and pastimes of Vrindavan. So why is it, Rukmini was wondering, Lakshmi Devi as well, what is it about Vrindavan that keeps Krishna's heart always there? Even when he's residing in Dwarka, Mathura, his heart is in Vrindavan, and that makes him so more and more absent-minded that he's calling out to cows while he's trying to sleep. While he's sleeping at night, absorbed in his dreams, Krishna's calling out for cows. And Rukmini is realizing that he may be physically in form at my side, but he's lost in Vrindavan. And what keeps Krishna in Vrindavan? That he can't go a foot outside. It's the nature, it's the gift of those kalpa vrikshas and kamadenas and Chintamani Dham, all of which fulfill all desires, including and especially the desires that we don't even know that we have, for love, for devotional service, for love of Krishna. We have that desire. And the kalpa vrikshas, kamadenas, and Chintamani Dham, any one is more than adequate to unlimitedly fulfill all our desires. But what is the one thing only that the Brijabasis desire? That's love for Krishna. And there's only one thing that Krishna desires, basically, one root from which there's many branches, and that is to please his devotees. And he does so by becoming their friend or child or lover. And this is the gift which Lord Chaitanya has come to give. Our Vaidhi Bhakti is becoming Raganuga, because when we worship Lord Chaitanya as Lord, we're simultaneously following his other dynamic, who is Radha. We're following in the footsteps of Ragatmaka that can lead only to Vrindavan. So the six Goswamis, understanding Lord Gauranga's heart, prescribed a type of sadhana with Vaidhi, a form of sadhana as Vaidhi, which is unique. It has the seed of Raganuga in its heart. And therefore, going back to the beginning, this is Prema Sankirtan. I mean, there's Prem and Dwarka, but it's not the same as Braj Prem. The other point that Srivastava Thakur was emphasizing, that all the opulence of Vaikuntha, Mathura, Dwarka combined can't compare to a speck of dust in Braja. And it's not that opulence is absent in Braja. Opulence expands from Braja. Vaikuntha is just a distant glimmer of the opulence of Braja. But what's the difference? The Aishwarya opulence, although it is greater in Vrindavan than anywhere, including Dwarka, it is invisible because it's covered with such a sweet sentiment that the devotees share amongst themselves as Krishna becomes their friend, child, or intimate lover. The other thing that's so wonderful about Chaitanya Lila is it grants us a glimpse into the heart of the Lord as found nowhere else, as in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the other works of the Goswamis and their followers has elaborated this point, like Sanatana Goswami and his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which we mentioned before. But after Gopakumara comes back to Earth, and in Earth, on Earth, in Vrindavan, calling out to Krishna with all his heart's love until the day he returns to Goloka, at evening time, when Krishna is returning from the forest with the cows, and the gopis are waiting to receive Krishna, and the gopis are with Krishna, and then Krishna just runs away from the gopis and cows, disregards the gopis, and embraces this one gopa that nobody recognized, because this is Gopa Kumar on his first day back home. Krishna embraces this newcomer, and with heartfelt affection asks him, why did you stay away for so long? How could you live away and apart from me? How could you bear my separation? Once having left me, you took so much trouble to return. You searched for me everywhere. You begged door to door. People chastised you, ridiculed you greatly, and you suffered so much that you cried. This is Krishna speaking. He says to Gopakumara, I cried for you, knowing all these things because I was with you. And now at last you have returned to me. So Lord Chaitanya's Lila is Krishna's search for his lost servants, to elevate them to their heart's desire in the form of Sakya or Dasya or Madhurya, Sakya, Vatsalya or Madhurya. Krishna's search for his lost servants is not an ordinary campaign. It's from the heart, in a most profound and expansive heart, that though full and complete and self-satisfied within himself, he feels separation from every one of us, however small we may be. He holds a special place for everyone in some corner of this vast and loving heart. And Lord Chaitanya is coming in 8 days to continue his eternal quest to call all his lost parts and parcels back home. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?
I would like to tell you, Maharaj, who is with us tonight before we take the questions. Would that be okay?
Yes.
So we have a good husband, and we have Mother Sukavaha, and then we have Mother Sachimata, and then we have Sukadevi and Sonia, Preetam Prabhu, Bhaktamatsu. I think I mentioned, and we had Vraj, and we have also Vraj Mohan Prabhu with us tonight.
My greetings to all of you.
So, anyone would like to ask anything or any reflections?
Can I ask something?
Please go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances on Glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for such a wonderful class. I have a question, more like a clarification. So you mentioned that Goloker Premedhan Harinam Sankirtan, and Mahaprabhu brought that Prem Sankirtan to this mortal world. And you also mentioned that the devotees who are in Vaikuntha, they cannot go to Goloka directly. They have to come here and engage in Prem Sankirtan. So does this mean that in Vaikuntha there is no Hare Krishna Mahamantra? I mean, do they don't chant this, or it's not bestowed on them?
No,
Just a question.
there is, it's reverential.
Okay.
It's Vaidhi Bhakti. There's that vast difference between master and servant that is bereft of the sweetness of Braj Prem and consequent Prem Sankirtan. Yes. And other sampradayas, they also chant Hare Krishna as they worship the Lord in Vaidhi Bhakti as Lakshmi Narayan. But that chanting of Hare Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti and other sampradayas without the connection with Mahaprabhu takes them utmost to Vaikuntha. And we don't want to sound like achieving Vaikuntha is a ordinary thing. It's highly exceptional. But that's the destination of other sampradayas, including our sampradaya before the time of Madhavendra Puri. These sampradayas, who are all chanting Hare Krishna, and it's taking them to Vaikuntha. We are chanting Hare Krishna in a very different sentiment, in developing a mood that takes us to Goloka Vrindavan. Does that answer your question?
Oh, absolutely. That's really beautiful. Thanks. I kind of missed that point. So, yeah, that's wonderful, Maharaj. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
You hear me?
Sukavaha?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Maharaj, you're talking about Prema Bhakti, and we're practicing Sadhana Bhakti. So we can't really get ourselves to Prema Bhakti. It's awarded. What is our part? What's our part?
Thank you for that most essential point. It's awarded. It's a gift. It's a treasure bestowed. Our part is the magic word, receive. which necessitates that you open your hearts. Which means surrender, which, you know, we think of surrender as somebody's going to take something from you. So, yeah, we sometimes carry that same cringe towards surrender into devotional life. But in Krishna's words, abandon all varieties of religion, sarvadharma pratyaja, and surrender unto me. And understanding that we'll naturally be fearful, this consciousness of surrender. So he assures, I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear, do not hesitate, do not worry. So in the Gaudiya Vaishnava context, surrender is a gift we can give to ourselves by merely putting down our defenses and resistance and rebellion towards Krishna and open our hearts to be flooded with grace, which overflows from the soul in the terms of satisfaction, which everyone is searching, but who really finds it? It's only found in surrender to Krishna and fulfilled in Mamekam Shadanam Vraja. There he says it again, Vraja. Which as a verb means, translates to go. And as an object, it's the destination.
Maharaj, were you finished with your point, or can I kind of just say one thing?
Well, I forgot the point, so go ahead and say something, please.
It seems that, we so often guard our heart and we resist life, we resist other souls, we resist our circumstances, and we really guard our heart. It's hard for us to be vulnerable in our life. That kind of is an impediment, I guess, in our chanting too, is it?
Well, it's something we developed for protection, which was necessary at the time. And it's so programmed in our subconscious, it's become the autopilot now that keeps us defensive, because opening the heart is such a vulnerable matter. And that's why it's essential that we develop trust in faith, in Guru and Gauranga, that Krishna is the most loving, gracious, and gentle Lord. So, we've developed these defenses because in our sojourn of material life, not everyone has been so gracious, loving, and tender. And even if we find someone who appears to be so, we're so suspicious that is this real? And that's why we have to become very serious in our Vaidhi Bhakti. So that in worshiping Gauranidai, we are worshiping Radha and Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, and we are cultivating our love. And within that Vaidhi, as that seed of Raganuga begins to germinate and sprout and put down roots, we find such a confidential relationship and trust in the Lord and His servants. Not that we blindly put down our guards and defenses in all directions, but definitely open our hearts to Krishna, because our hearts will not be broken by Him. You'll be fulfilled in Him. Does that answer your question? I hope.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a practice. And I guess
that's what sadhana means. Sadhana means practice.
And I guess we practice when we're chanting. At least we can do it when we're chanting, because, yeah.
And then as we perfect our chanting, we'll do it in everything.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Anything else?
Maharaj, Uddhava in being, what was his rasa with Krishna?
Well, Uddhava is, you know, Krishna's counselor, cousin, friend, and Dwarka, which same thing. It means Dasiras with a Vaikuntha flavor of friend. And that's why we said before, it's not that there is no such thing as friendship. Well, actually, there is no such thing. There's Dasiras in the mood of a friend in Vaikuntha, but it's reverential. Its distance is feeble, it's weak. Because even though Uddhava is acting as Krishna's confidant, counselor, friend, cousin, Uddhava is very much aware that he's the servant and Krishna's the master. And that's why Krishna sent him to Braj to deliver those messages. Now, Krishna can easily communicate through the heart, but he sent letters with Uddhava so that Uddhava could see firsthand that, you know, him thinking himself such a great devotee by being privileged to serve as counselor, comforter, friend to Krishna and Dwarka, amongst and making him the greatest devotee in Dwarka. Krishna wanted him that in delivering the messages to the gopis, he would come to realize or feel that he wasn't even a devotee at all in comparison to the Brijavasis, and that he would learn the mellows of Braj by conveying Krishna's words to the Brijavasis and their words back to Krishna, and just observing, most of all, how, you know, they're so deranged in their anguish of separation from Krishna that they're with Krishna closer than ever. You know, this Uddhava was just amazed that he never saw such things in Dwarka. And then he came to realize that Krishna didn't send messages to them through me. He's sending messages from them to me as a consequence of me delivering his message. So anyway, back to your question, Uddhava is in Dasyaras with, you know, you can say that there's a half a Vatsalya in Dwarka, but it's not real full-fledged Vatsalya, so it's real full-fledged Dasyaras Uddhava has with Krishna. But of course, all these devotees came back in Chaitanya Lila, and, you know, while their Stai Bhava, which is unchangeable, endured, it was infused with the love of Vrindavan, as revealed in their kirtan, as seen in the arrival of the Magalis. And King Pratiparuta's question, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's answers, this is Prem Sankirtan. So, once again, Uddhava is Dasyaras with maybe a half a Sakya. And he awakens to the other rasas in Vrindavan, and he experiences them in Chaitanya Lila.
Who was he in Chaitanya Lila?
Paramananda Puri, who had a well that Lord Chaitanya loved so much. He would drink the water and declare that anyone who drinks the water of Paramananda Puri's well attains love for Krishna. Yes. Uddhava of Dwarka is Paramananda Puri in Chaitanya Lila, where he found the fulfillment of his delivery of the messages from Krishna in Dwarka to the Brijabasis. Now Uddhava is not only understanding those moods, he's experiencing them himself, because whatever rasa any devotee has eternally as a sthayi bhava, all the devotees who entered into Lord Chaitanya's Lila became infused with at least a tinge of that madhurya that pervades braj, which means sweetness. The sweetness of a confidential, intimate relationship with Krishna. Anything else?
So what about Arjuna Maharaj? The same? Like similar to...
Ramananda Rai is a triple incarnation of Pandava Arjun, Gopa Arjun, and Gopi Vishaka. Ramananda Rai. Anything else? Thank you all for sharing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as a prelude to his appearance in 8 days. It's been a privilege to serve you and hear from you. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.